Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sammy Edmund is in the studio. Welcome to you, Sammy. Great to have you on.
She's a world. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it, Dwayne? I love the post from Sonia Hood just leading into this game. She had the box of Cheezels on the coffee table there with her feet up, ready to watch her kangaroo. So what a great story. Harry Cheezel is re-signing as well. So another 2 years. So that's now through until 2026, which is magnificent. I know you've got him on the show later, of course. I wonder if Ben Mackay will follow. That's another big signing down in that part of the world.
Yeah, so is that what you're hearing, that they'll sort of focus their attention on Ben, or is that going to wait until later in the year?
No, I think they could sign him. They would sign him yesterday if they could, Dwayne, to be honest with you. The sooner they can sign him up, the better. He's a source of much intrigue when it comes to player movement this year, alongside Tom DeConing, Darcy Parrish and a few others. But I think they'll take a deep sigh of a breath of relief if Ben Mackay does re-sign. He's a pivotal part of their future, of course.
What happens at the tribunal tonight?
Oh, good question. We'll find out, hopefully, not long after 5 o'clock, which is where they're likely to sit to hear Shane McAdam's case for rough conduct, of course, putting that full stop on a weekend of a spate of MRO incidents. So, Jacob Ware, I checked in with the Giants, actually, today earlier on, Dwayne, just to check in on Jacob. Even though he went off for the concussion test, which is the reason, obviously, Shane McAdam's hit has been elevated to severe impact, he's fine. So, symptom-wise, he's okay. He did pass the test on the day itself and return to the game, but there can be a delayed nature of these things, as we know, but still symptom-free and fine at this stage. So I think it goes to the tribunal, which is an open floor. So I'd expect Adelaide to try and argue it down to 2 weeks, citing Cozzy Pickett's case as something of an example. But the AFL will be really interesting, in fact, arguably more interesting to see what their arguments are around it, given the strong use of the potential to cause injury clause that we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, so do you think they'll argue that at least Jacob Ware had the ball as opposed to the Cozzy Pickett one?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're looking at the naked eye, Cozzy's is worse, isn't it? In the sense that he's got him late. It's a very unique spearing sort of motion where Cozzy Pickett is fully airborne. So there's a few differences there, notwithstanding the fact that Shane McAdams is a brutal velocity on that hit. And yeah, you're right. And Jacob had the ball. Other than that, I think we're splitting hairs, aren't we? The only difference is that if Bailey Smith had actually been treated for concussion, gone through the test and not bobbed up, but amazingly quickly, then Cozzy Pickett would have had the 3 weeks as well, I think we can assume. So the medical report wasn't flawless for Bailey Smith. There was some jaw soreness and the like there. But look, it'll be really interesting to see where this one lands tonight. So much interest and debate around it. Obviously, you would have thought a 3 minimum, which is obviously the trigger to even get it there in the first place from the MRO. And then it'll be interesting to see what Adelaide argue back the other way.
Now, Collingwood Port is big, but this Bulldogs-Saints game is pretty big, isn't it? There's a few big games coming up in round two, which is great.
Absolutely. There's plenty on the line in this one from a Western Bulldogs perspective. But how much more bad luck can the Saints cop, Dwayne? So Jimmy Webster's broken a bone in his right hand in the win over Fremantle, so he'll undergo surgery. So you can put a line through him for the hero now. Jack Bytel will also miss, so he spent some time in hospital for a nasty gash to the knee. They get one back the other way, maybe two. So Marcus Winhager will return, already a coach's favourite after Ross Line rejoin the club. They might get Seb Ross back as well, but he needs to get through full training. As far as the forward line, Tim Membry, Max King, still a fair way off, at least a month for the former now and 6 weeks for the latter. So they've got a massive injury list at St Kilda. Just treading water at the moment too, when it looked as though they might have been about to get stronger personnel-wise.
Simon Goodwin, he's had the press conference today. We've played a couple of bits in front. Good news that May's back, Viney's back and Fritch are all back for the game against Brisbane. So we've addressed that, but there were a couple of other things that he was asked to address.
Yes, no surprises here. He was asked about Glenn Bartlett, whose bitter departure, or the latest chapter of it, Dwayne, came in the Herald Sun today via Mark Robinson's story. In it, There's more claims from Bartlett that Gillon McLachlan and Melbourne CEO Gary Peart were aware and, in fact, monitoring Simon Goodwin's behaviour for a year and a half, for the 18 months. Bartlett goes on to say he and his fiancée Victoria suffered serious health issues because of bullying and threats, and that actually McLachlan and AFL chairman Richard Goyder had given him the licence to remove Goodwin and Peart if need be, but he says that soon after pushing for hair testing and a tough two-strike policy for staff, which he says Richard Goyder was initially supportive of, he said he was ousted as chairman of the club not long after, a move that he believes the AFL endorsed in backroom conversation. So that's ongoing for Glenn Bartlett, and we know it's a subject of a lot of widespread legal action against the president, Kate Roffey, and club directors and The Age and Channel 9 and such. But Simon Goodwin, again, Dwayne, was asked about it. He faced the media this morning for his weekly press conference, and this is how he negotiated the questioning around the former president, Glenn Bartlett.
Simon, just on today's stories in the Herald Sun with Glenn Bartlett, it's claimed in there that Gary Peart and Gil McLachlan were, I suppose, monitoring is the right word, you for the better part of 18 months. Were you aware of that at the time, or have you been made aware of it since? What did you make of that?
I think I said, I spoke about this 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and I said it was irrelevant to me back then, and it's still irrelevant to me now. I've got more important things to worry about in terms of Brisbane stoppages, Lachie Neale, their potent forward line, and talking about Glenn Bartlett. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, just on sort of a broader one that's related to that as well, though, would you support hair testing of AFL executives and senior coaches?
As I said, I'm not going to give it any oxygen at all, or any thought time, any energy. It's irrelevant to me.
So, Dwayne, the straightest of straight bats there from Simon Goodwin, but maybe just laced with a little bit of irritation in his response as well.
Yeah, you can push it back to the bowler with a bit of strength in your defensive shot, and I think he's done that. Speaking of off-field stuff, there's still a bit going on at Hawthorn. The CBA is being negotiated. There's a lot of off-field stuff to talk about, even though it's great that the on-field stuff has taken the priority in the last 24 hours, which is good.
Oh, and that is welcome. But yeah, this off-field stuff, obviously a lot of it to be tidied up before Gillon McLachlan departs, or he will hope anyway, around the gather-round. Let's start with Hawthorn. Now, Dwayne, Sam Mitchell, the coach, was summoned to speak to the independent panel investigating the historical claims of racism at that club. Now, as this probe drags on, Mitchell was recently contacted to answer questions about the events at the Hawks between 08 and 16, obviously, as we know, after those serious allegations from several Indigenous families during the coaching reign of the man that Mitchell replaced, that being Alistair Clarkson. Now, the Hawks were ordered by the AFL some 5 or 6 months ago now to send an email to every player who was at the club at that time, giving them the opportunity to take part in the investigation if they chose to do so. Now, many players chose, obviously, not to take up that offer, but what has transpired since is that in the interviews that have taken place, if players or staff have been mentioned in those interviews for whatever reason or whatever context, then those people have then been contacted subsequently by the independent panel to sit down and have a chat as well. So some players have documented absolutely everything, and others understandably can't remember things given how far back we're going. But Dwayne, the other strange thing about the process is that the players who have been willing to be interviewed have actually been shown transcripts of what others have said. So in some instances, there's been confidentiality clauses signed, but I would have thought if you're willing to put yourself out there with potentially sensitive info, you wouldn't want it shared with others, particularly if what you're saying might be of an incriminating nature. But I found that quite unusual. The reasons or origins around why Mitchell became involved are unclear. I've been told he's now not part of the investigation going forward. Of course, he was captain for a few years in that period of 08 to 2010 specifically.
So how many more weeks or months of this do we have, do you think?
The unanswerable question, isn't it? I mean, Gillon McLachlan said he's been hopeful. I mean, they were hopeful pre-Christmas, weren't they? When actually the AFL did make contact and asked for an update from the panel, and they were given one of Simon Goodwin's straight bats. In fact, it might have gone all the way to the fence. Such was the nature of it. So that was a please don't ask again response, and they haven't done. So look, we all wait. We all wait with interest, don't we?
We do. The CBA, how far away from that will Gil get that done?
Yeah, I think this is the one that he'd have to get done before he departs in round five. He'd hate this loose end to continue on. So the negotiations are ongoing at the moment. It is with the AFL. The players have made their pitch to the league on what is a joint male and female CBA. But, Dwayne, the interesting part of this is not all of the male players were or are on board with the shared agreement. Now, the shared agreement would see the total playing pool divvied up. Some, at the moment, it stands at 93% to the men and 7% to the women. But over the life of this new 4-year CBA, that ratio will shift to 85% men, 15% women. Now, some male players, obviously nothing against the female cohort from their perspective, but they're thinking, why would we go back on our share of revenue? Wouldn't we be better off going forward on our own? But of course, the $4.5 billion broadcast rights deal kicks in from 2025, a massive influx of money there. There'll be some AFLW revenue in there as well. So it'll be a bigger pie. So 85% of a bigger pie as opposed to 93% of a smaller one is how it's been portrayed to the male playing group from the AFLPA, and the majority of them have been appeased. Yeah, I think it's close to being resolved, Dwayne. Anyway, Gil departs in and around, as I said, gather around round five. They'll want this one wrapped up for sure.
Do you think the players are in for a massive pay rise? Lee Matthews has talked about, there's been quite a few talked about the fact that they deserve a hell of a lot more. A lot of other sports are paying big, big bucks now to lure kids away.
Yeah, I think they're in for a pay rise. To what nature, I won't pretend to be intimately familiar with. Other than, I think there's an expectation this was their opening gambit to the AFL. You know, you put it all out there, you obviously ask for more. There's going to be a lot more back and forth between now and when it does get resolved. But by and large, I think the framework is in place for that CBA, and we're just getting down the nitty-gritty of it now. Speaking of nitty-gritty, Dwayne, now a lot of talk on the turf in this part of the world at the MCG, of course, and to a lesser extent, Marvel Stadium. But as of last night, over in Perth, over at Optus, only half of the 12,000 square metres of new turf has been relaid. I tell you, we're 5 days out. They're racing to get it right for a pair of round two matches this weekend. Obviously, Freo North Saturday night, West Coast GWS Sunday night. I've seen some vision and some photos of Optus, Dwayne. There's a lot of work to do. Still a pretty decent sandpit over in that part of the world. So brace yourself. They say the sequel's never as good as the original anyway, but I think we're about to get a bit more of the same.
Are there any players that, because they had to redo Adelaide Oval too, didn't they?
Yep, they did.
So are there any players that played at the MCG last week will play at the Adelaide Oval this week and will play in Perth next week?
Oh, hang on. Well, Freo North, no.
No, okay.
West Coast GWS, no. So, no, it'd be interesting, though, if you did get the trifecta, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You got through.
You become, like a curator after your career.
I got a funny one for you before you go. So I did the Gold Coast game on the weekend, which is... it's always fun to do the Gold Coast game and you sort of go along for the ride. They were pumping up their new kid, Bodie Ulan, who was making his AFL debut. Young 19-year-old guy. So when I found out that he was in the team, you know, obviously looked at his backstory and did
No milk
for Bodie Ulan. But Stuart, you did tell us this pre-game that he's been a Gold Coast supporter all his life and he might be the first long-time, all-time Gold Coast supporter to play for the club. Here's Stuart Dew pre-game on Fox Footy.
He's probably our first lifelong supporter, so I know there's some photos getting around. There's a few T-shirts in the crowd. Look, he's picked based on the fact that he competes. He had a tough year last year with a broken back in a brace. So, look, the way he went about it, he didn't miss a beat, so he's got the reward.
Lifelong supporter, so the Gold Coast have been in the comp for 13 years. He's 19 years of age. While I was doing my research to find out more about him, I do listen to these little podcasts done by LJ, is the guy's name. He's a young guy, 15-year-old, and he does all these interviews with obscure players. And it was on LJ's podcast from 2 years ago that Bodie Ulan said he was a Lions fan. He's Bodie.
Growing up, went for the Brisbane Lions, so it's pretty tough going through early 2010s, and then they've come good the last few years, which is good to see. Yeah, I've always gone for them. Parents are both from Victoria, and they go for Richmond and Collingwood. Well, but dad's changed their sons now. Now he's up here instead of Collingwood, thank God.
Bodie Ulan on the LJ podcast, a Brisbane Lions fan. It's good that they've come good, the Lions, in the last couple of years.
Gee whiz, so he switched allegiances, a lifelong Sun supporter.
Well, let's not, you know, ruin a good story, though. It's good to have an academy player come through playing for the Gold Coast Suns, even if he did actually barrack for a bit of his career with the Lions. Great to have you, Sammy. Just thought I'd bring that to your attention. Bit of fun.